Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Is wrestling.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I am your host, Cody Diener, and I am a professional wrestler. I'm a professional wrestling producer. I am a professional speaker. I'm also, well, some people have called me a philanthropist. I can barely even say that word, philanthropist. I do a lot of work with charity. Go check out my Giver for Charity stuff on my website, and you'll see all the work I do there. I'm also a proud husband of a beautiful wife, a very proud father of four amazing children, and I am a professional podcaster, sort of, because I'm giving this to you for free each and every week, and I appreciate you guys for coming back for another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling. If you did not listen to part one with Courtney Rush, which was last week, episode three, go do that now. Go listen to her talk about some amazing topics like putting positive energy into what you love to manifest positive reality, the importance of mentors, building a support group to keep your confidence up, the mindset that's needed to succeed in wrestling, but really, because this is wrestling as life is wrestling, the positive mindset that's needed to succeed in life. Motivational tactics that are used to get you through hardship. This idea of having a safety net or backup plan versus not having that so that you can accomplish a difficult dream. All those topics and more in part one last week with Courtney Rush, my friend for almost two decades. If you are a patron and supporting me, then you've already listened to this part. You see, you could have got this full interview early and ad-free by going over to patreon.com/CodyDiener and signing up there. That helps support me, helps me accomplish my goal of being a professional podcaster in order to make a little bit of money doing what I'm doing. There is a bunch of different levels on there. You can just be a mark and get access to a whole bunch of bonus content, including these full interviews. Or you can be a smart mark, a level two smart mark, and you can get bonus content, bonus stories, which is up right now, both the video and audio that Courtney Rush / Rosemary told of her very first insane travel day for her TNA debut. It's quite the story. Go check that out right now over at patreon.com/CodyDiener. Or you can be a Diener maniac mega mark and be involved in Q&As personally with me. I'll follow you on all your social media. I will send you out merch monthly, all kinds of stuff over there at patreon.com/CodyDiener. You could also buy a t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com or get a cameo from me at cameo.com/CodyDiener. But that's enough of me. Let's talk about our guest. How can you support our guest, Courtney Rush? Lots of ways. Follow her on Twitter and Instagram at @WeAreRosemary. And at Rushlemania, RUSHLEMANIA. She is also an entrepreneur, just like me, as you heard me talk about all the things that I'm involved in. She is an entrepreneur and has a wonderful website that has all kinds of wicked, awesome merch that she started with a good friend of hers and mine, Allie from AEW. They have Demon Bunny. What an amazing brand. Seriously, you got to go check this out over at demonxbunny.com. You won't be disappointed. Go check out all the really wicked awesome stuff they got over there. If you are someone who plays a lot of video games, you love Twitch, you found yourself a very positive community within the Twitch community. I've heard a lot of people doing that. That's not my thing. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy recording intros for my podcast conversations and traveling around doing all the other stuff that I've told you about. But maybe I'll jump onto the Twitch world one day. But if you are one of those people, check out twitch.tv/AndyEPlays. That's Fire Pro Wrestling World Weekly E-Fed with Drew. And Courtney jumps on there and you can play some video games and be a part of another positive community. Talking about positivity, we are going to be listening to part 2 of my conversation with Courtney Rush. We left off last week talking about how stage performers project what you want to get back from your audience, and how she really didn't feel confident in her abilities doing promos, coming out of her shell, until her friend Roxy Laveau from back in TNA days, or Nikki Rocks in Shimmer, really gave her some amazing advice. And then we continue off on that conversation of getting such important advice from mentors, people that come alongside you, which is, this is what happens in life, right? I think it's so important in life that we have people come alongside us and we're willing to accept their help. And then we pay it forward. We be that person that comes alongside someone else to help them move forward. This podcast is a perfect example of that. I've had my friends that are in this crazy, amazing wrestling business with me come alongside me and say, yes, I'll give you an hour or more of my time to talk about life with you, because I know you're trying this new adventure into the podcasting world. You have this concept where you want to help people by telling stories of wrestling, stories of people's journeys. If I can help you in any way, I will. And my friends have come alongside me. They've sat down with me. They've shared of themselves. They've been vulnerable. And through that vulnerability, we're helping people. I know this because I'm getting that feedback from you guys each and every week. If that's you, please take a screenshot of you listening to this right now. Tag me in it. Put it up on your socials. I'll retweet it. And that helps spread the word about this podcast. And you never know, something that you or your friend or your family member hears from this part 2 with Courtney Rush today might help them through a tough time, because she's had some tough times that she's gone through. And just sharing and being vulnerable, we have learned, helps other people. So thank you guys for joining us again for another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I'm excited about this part 2 with Courtney Rush. Let's jump into it right now. This is part 2 with my friend, the amazing, the beautiful, the vulnerable, and the uber talented Courtney Rush. I'm also realizing, which I think is really cool, how similar you and your career trajectory is to mine. I've never even thought of it, like, because you said dancing, and that's like the first thing that I started to do to be different than other people was come out to Pour Some Sugar on Me and just dance like an idiot. Part of my mentality was, so like, part of the mentality of that was, well, okay, you guys look dull to do your flips and dives and get a reaction, and I'll just dance around and I'll get the same reaction as you guys, and I'll save my body. So that's a similar thing. Two, Nikki's advice to you, like, be different. Was it Nikki you said? Nikki Rocks. Yeah. Nikki Rocks. Yeah, I remember as Roxy too, because I was when she was in TNA. She was in there as well. She was there as well. She's awesome.
She's awesome.
Oh, she's so wonderful. And I think that advice to her just shows how awesome she is and how right she is. When that exact phrase, be different, was the whole reason I switched from becoming generic Cody Steele wrestler guy to Cody Diener. The person that said those very two words to me was Arn Anderson.
Yeah,
I was at the WWE. I was doing dark matches and tryouts and like a lot of them. And finally one day I'm like, it's not happening. Like, what is it that I'm not getting? Why am I not getting a job? Like, I'm getting positive feedback in terms of my wrestling skill and all this stuff. Like, why am I not getting a job? So I just decided, okay, well, instead of just standing like an extra in the corner, walking on eggshells, being afraid that I'm going to ruffle someone's feathers. Yeah. I'm like, well, I can't get fired because I don't have a job anyway. So I'm just going to walk up to Arn Anderson and just ask him, why don't I have a job? So I did. And he looked me in the eye and he goes, well, you got to do something, kid. You got to be different. I'm like, okay, what do you mean? And he's like, well, you got to think of a way to be different. You know, Rey Mysterio is different. Big Show's different. There's lots of ways of being different. Yeah. You've got to be different. So then I'm thinking, okay, I'm never going to be Rey Mysterio. I can't do those things.
No.
I'm also never going to be Big Show because I have those limitations physically.
Yeah.
So I had to take a serious look and go, okay, how can I be different? Like immediately right now. And I knew the only thing I could do to immediately be different was completely change how I look.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a beautiful long hair that quickly became a really dirty mullet, and I grew a handlebar mustache, and I got rid of all my really nice expensive wrestling gear and started wearing Daisy Dukes and disgusting stuff to the ring, and just decided, okay, I'm going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good life advice for people listening to this, you know, that are kind of maybe struggling and want a promotion or kind of want to get to that next level at wherever they are at in life. You know, you can either hear this a lot, and I think it's so true. You're either greater than, you're either less than, or you're different than.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're struggling trying to be better than, and you're finding yourself in situations at work or in life, like, oh, I always end up being less than everything. Well, there is a third option, and that's just to be different than. Mm-hmm. Right. 100%. And then showing that you are different kind of puts you in a different light and sets you up potentially for success and getting yourself to a different spot. Right. No matter what that is.
Yeah. And it's all about it's like two different ways. As you were talking about that, it's like sort of popped into my head where it's like you can use trending like two different ways. Cause like trending is the things that are hot right now. And so there are two different ways to like use trending things to like find success. Either you can go with the trend and be the best at it, and there you'll stand out, or you go completely against the trend and there you'll stand out.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, totally. I've never thought about that either. And I think most people, and I've done this myself, like you search for what's trending.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go, like, literally, if you go on Twitter and you go, okay, what's trending right now? What's the hashtag? And then people are thinking, okay, how can I use that hashtag in a tweet? And then hopefully get people to look at my stuff, right? Yep. That makes sense. That's a sensible strategy, you know, in social media context. But oftentimes, I think of how many people are doing that, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? I mean, it's still relates to, you know, everyday life. Think about the example that popped into my head was like if there's a really popular movie out right now and then all of a sudden everyone's quoting it, right?
Yeah.
So like that's the trend right now. So everyone's like sort of picking up new catchphrases, and it might stay with them. Like there are certain things that like I picked up from like shows that I watched years ago that I still say because it stuck with me. But and then there's also ones that people just quote all the time because it was a super popular trend at the time. Like Anchorman, you know, any Anchorman quote when it came out.
I think in a wrestling context, it's bringing to mind, and maybe you've experienced this too, when I do, and I still do indies. Some people don't realize I still do indies. You still do indies, right?
Like occasionally.
Occasionally, yeah. So like I love them, and I love doing indies. I love traveling to the middle of nowhere towns and seeing young talent and seeing.
And much more likely to take the booking if they'll book a tag.
Yes. Ah, gotcha. All right. So we're putting that out to any promoters who are listening right now.
Oh, you did. Yeah.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Courtney Rush is available now.
Available for tags.
Definitely for tags. 100%. I see a lot of young wrestlers, and this is advice to kind of young wrestlers that I give often, is when I see them, I see that they are emulating or getting inspiration and trying to do stuff that's trendy right now with a couple wrestlers that are really hot. Like their moveset is the same as somebody that's wrestling on television right now, or their gear is the same, or they have so many things that you can tell they're watching wrestling like right now. and emulating what's hot right now. And I have to say, like, dude, there's already a Kenny Omega. There's already a Will Ospreay, you know, there's already a Josh Alexander, you know, don't Josh Alexander is awesome, but he's one of one.
Yes.
You can't
I wouldn't want to try to be.
No, you can't. He's someone else I'm going to be talking to. He's on my list for sure. He's amazing. But like, there's one of one. Josh Alexander's one of one.
Yeah.
Don't try to be Josh Alexander.
No.
You have to be different. And then if they can't think of something, I say, hey, if you're going to steal something, because that's what wrestling is.
Oh, it's 100%.
It's recycled. I go, watch Saturday Night's main event from 1986 and find something. Yeah. Find something from there, because 100%. You don't want to watch modern wrestling to steal, because it's being done now.
It's already a thing. Yeah. Why would you make a cover song of a song that came out a year ago?
There it is. Exactly.
It doesn't make any damn sense. Sorry, you think.
That's right.
Yeah, if you're going to refresh something and make it yours and make it new and do a cover of something, then you have to like bring up something from the vault and make it and give it an overhaul and a fresh coat of paint.
Yes.
I don't necessarily, to your point, worry so much about people, I guess, like emulating what they're seeing. We all did that. Like, we all, like, absolutely. You know, when you're struggling to find the character, you're like, well, I like this person, so I'll kind of do what this person, or I'll wear like this. Like, how many people were doing Kenta's shit when we were going?
Right? Yes.
Like, you could tell who was watching Noah besides everybody. And that's okay, because like, you pick up stuff. You try to emulate, and then like maybe you learn that like, okay, this doesn't work, but I could modify it to this way, and now it's mine, and now it's like something that I do. Is like, again, bringing up Nikki Rocks, like, because like she's been somebody whose advice stuck with me for so long. When I needed a new finisher for Rosemary, I remembered her. Because she used to do the Barbie Crusher, which is like with the hammer lock over the back, and then she does the sit down thing. So, and I actually I messaged her, and I was like, hey, it would be cool with you, because like I often used Roxy Laveau as like a inspiration for Rosemary, like in Impact as well. And I was like, would it be cool with you to use like a modified version of your finisher? And she was like, absolutely, like have at it. And so that's why I do like the double underhook sit out. Is it's a specifically a modified Barbie Crush or Voodoo Drop from Roxy. Oh,
another reason why she's awesome, because she gave you her blessing. is great. Yeah, totally. Oh man, every time you're saying something, it brings like three questions and ideas in my mind, and we get hit in the headlock, and I just lost it.
Yeah, I know, right? Try to grab it before I leave.
That's why.
But that kind of made me more to the point of what you were saying of like doing what's on TV right now. It's not only mildly disrespectful because you're just plagiarizing something someone else is doing, but and something they're doing currently, when you could go choose something else that like no one else is doing right now, has been done but not right now. That's totally fine, and sometimes that's unavoidable, but here we are. Stuff's gonna get stolen. It's not even wrestling, it's entertainment. Stuff's gonna get stolen. Moves like specifically with that finishing move, like I asked her about using it, like which like she wasn't using it on TV anymore, and it was something that people weren't using on TV. Like I wanted to use a finisher that wasn't portrayed on TV.
Yes.
And then Angel Garcia started using it on NXT. Damn it.
Well, I think this is what I was gonna say. You bring up the really valid and good point, like, well, there's nothing wrong with being inspired by modern stuff if you just if it works for you, if you can find something that works for you. And
if you're trying to shoehorn it, it's no good.
yes, and I think the same can be said for wrestling and in life in terms of taking advice from people. Like you listed kind of some of your people that are in your circle, right? Your girlfriends that are like with you and are gonna pull you up, and then you mentioned, you know, Nikki giving you all this wonderful advice. I have found that we have to be very careful with who we accept advice from.
Yeah, absolutely.
And who we ask advice of. Because I have seen so many times in wrestling a wrestler get in their own head and lose all of their confidence because they're asking advice from everybody.
Yeah.
And they're respectful people, you know, the veterans in the locker room. But, you know, for example, Impact, in our locker room, there's at least 10 very respectful veterans, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
If you go to every single one of those veterans, you're going to get 10 pieces.
Yeah, I'm going to have 10 very valid conflicting pieces of information.
Exactly. Very valid, but conflicting. Exactly, yeah. Right? So then you start to get in your head and go, wait a minute, you know, and then you don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. It's too much. Mm-hmm. So my advice for young wrestlers and for people that are trying to succeed in anything in life, not just wrestling, but anything, is you have to pick who's going to be, you know, your one or two people that you're going to go to for advice, and then you take that to heart and use it. Because if you try to go to everybody, you're going to get lost.
100%. And right? Especially like, I don't know how to say this. Everybody's got different ways of doing things, right? Like, mm-hmm. like the way wrestling has worked for me isn't the way wrestling has worked for you, isn't the way wrestling has worked for this person. So like when you're asking advice, it's always best to keep in mind that you're asking what would they do, or what worked for them in this situation. It's not necessarily going to work for you, but at least you have like a kind of map, I guess.
Yep. Direction. That's why wrestling is life is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm giving you life advice, this is like my life.
Yeah.
Like that worked for me.
Yeah.
But what worked for Cody Deaner is not necessarily going to work for Courtney Rush. Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's so life is the same. Like I can't really give you life advice because I mean, I can tell you what worked for me and then you try to pull from it. Right. Mm-hmm. And we've had those conversations before, back and forth in a wrestling context,
100%.
Right? Where you've come to me and asked for my opinion. And I'm very conscious of the fact, like, okay, what the advice that I'm giving you or feedback I'm giving you is based on my experience.
Yeah.
Right. So it's through my filter.
Yeah. And not, that cognizance is one of the reasons I will come to you.
There you go.
It's so, because I'm aware. I know exactly that you are someone I can come to and talk to and ask questions.
Yes.
And you're not going to be like, well, you should do it like anyone who starts a sentence, you should.
Uh-huh. I know. There's those guys, right? And girls that are like, yeah. And that's true. That's right there. Anyone that starts something with you should. In wrestling,
in life,
if you start a sentence with "you should," it's like shut down. Yeah. Nope, I don't need to hear the rest of that.
Ew.
Yeah, don't tell me. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break to tell you about a couple awesome things. I'm not going to do it alone. I'm going to do it with a very special guest that I have here right now. Can you tell everybody your name?
Hallie.
And how old are you, Hallie?
6.
This is my 6-year-old, beautiful, gorgeous, lovely, talented, smart, and amazing daughter, Hallie. How are you doing today, Hallie?
Good.
What do you want to tell my listeners? You want to tell them anything?
I want to tell them... Can I tell them a joke?
Absolutely, you can tell them a joke. Do you have one that you're thinking of right now?
Just 1 second. I need to think of it.
Oh, just 1 second. You need to think of one. It could be a knock-knock joke. Could be some kind of story-like joke. Could be a joke that you read in a book or that you heard from somewhere. Looks. I can see a look on your face that you think you have an idea.
What? A pirate's favorite letter.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easy. The letter A, the first letter.
No, it's the C.
C. I was setting you up. I thought you were going to say a pirate's favorite letter is R. But C, because they like to go on a ship, makes sense too. Oh man, that's a good one. High five to that. I think that deserves one of these. Crowd like that. And maybe this too. So I want to tell people about a couple things. One thing I want to tell them about is prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener, where they can buy a Cody Diener t-shirt. Okay. Should they buy one?
Yes.
What color t-shirt should they get?
Black or pink.
Black or pink. You know that there's black and pink Cody Diener shirts, don't you? Yeah. Do you have one?
Well, I used to have one, but now I have one that's purple that says Just Giver.
That's right. You got one of my Just Giver t-shirts. Those are on there. So go buy a Just Giver t-shirt on prowrestlingtees.com/CodyDiener. Also, there's something called Cameo where people can order a video where I send them a private video and I send them a special message. Should somebody do that?
Yes.
What should I say to them when they get a video?
That you're the best.
That I'm the best?
You're the best dad and the best wrestler in the whole entire world.
Oh, I'm the best dad and the best wrestler in the world. That makes me feel really good. I'm smiling right now. Ed, you're smiling right now. Thank you for saying that, Hallie. You're a very sweet girl. Oh, there's one other thing that I wanted to tell them about. It's called Patreon.com, where they become what's called a patron. It's like they're in a secret cool club, like an awesome club, and they get special videos that nobody else gets to see, special stories from my guests that nobody else gets to see. They just get complete access to that, and I put up a bunch of cool things and Q&As and pictures and stuff that nobody sees unless they're a patron. Should they do that? Should they become a part of that special awesome group?
Yes.
I think they should too. Do you have anything that you want to say as we leave and we go back to my conversation with my friend? Anything else you want to tell my listeners?
Another joke.
Oh, you want to say another joke?
Yeah.
Do you have one in your head, or do we have to wait while
just
you think about it?
Just wait 1 second.
Okay, so we're just going to wait 1 second. We'll just put on some thinking music.
What's a flower's favorite setting in the day?
What's a flower's favorite setting?
Yes.
Okay, what's a flower's favorite setting in a day? Nighttime, so they can go to sleep?
No.
No.
Doesn't really make any sense.
Well, what's the answer?
Blooming time.
Blooming time. You just made that up in your head, didn't you?
Yes.
You've never told me this joke or this idea in your head before.
No.
You just made that up.
Yes.
Yourself.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Remember at the beginning of the interview when I said that you're very talented and smart? I told everybody that.
Yeah.
You just proved it. That a flower's favorite setting, which is a very big word for a 6-year-old to just throw out there, is blooming time. What a beautiful answer, and not even really a joke so much as a very good lesson and good factual information for my listeners. That deserves this too, Hallie. Can you say bye to everybody?
Bye.
So I think the listeners of this, we have a lot of different people that are going to be listening to this, right? We're going to have people that are going to love all that shimmer talk that you gave, that are like hardcore shimmer fans that are going to just love that you told a shimmer story.
Yeah. Shout out to the shimmer fans.
Yeah.
My re-debut. Awesome. In Chicago. You,
awesome. And then there's going to be other people that are going to go, I don't even know what shimmer is.
Yeah.
But that sounds awesome. So now I'm going to go check it out.
Yeah.
Which is great. And then there's other people that are like,
volume
I don't
44.
What's that? Yeah. Volume oh, there 44. You go. Awesome. Check that out. But then there's other people that are like not even necessarily wrestling fans, so they might have shut off or mentally shut down when you were going into detail about shimmer, which is fine.
Yeah.
But you're saying so many like good applicable like life advice in the things that you're saying, I think. So
you can replace that with any work scenario. Like I was trying to get a promotion at work, and a girl who I respect, but she was leaving her position, and she gave me advice on the way out of the company. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's the same. You just apply it to any, it can be in an office.
Right. Right. So I specifically want to talk about young people for a second. Mm-hmm. Like because I speak to young people as a motivational speaker. I travel around, I go to schools, and I talk to young people a lot. And after I'm done doing a speech, I'll talk to young people, and I tell them my story of wanting to be a professional wrestler. And I'll ask them, you know, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? What's your goals? What are you striving for? And the number one answer that I get from young kids when I ask them, what do you want to be? Their answer is, I want to be rich and famous.
Yep.
And that is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
And disappointing, because for me, that was never something that I thought about, even though we're both currently in this business that's all about like glamour and like the bright lights. And it seems that it's about let's just be these over the top famous rich people because we're on TV, so we must be rich kind of thing. But what advice would you give a young person who says that to you, that if you were to ask them, what do you want to be? And they say, well, I want to be rich and famous. Like, what would you say to a young person that came to you and gave you that answer?
My first instinct is to ask why.
Good follow up. Yeah.
Yeah. My first instinct is to ask why. Cause it's like similar into you again, that like I just like fame is not something that is a priority for me. In fact, I'm like actually quite terrified of it. Yeah. I did not get into this to be famous. I got into this to tell stories. I've always been a storyteller. I like being on stage, but I like the character to be on stage. Like, I'm not on stage, you know what I mean? Like, it's, that's not me out there. So like that's, and brings back to what you're talking about, both being private people and why it was so much easier when you had a character, because then you have a stage persona and that like that's out there and performing. But like that character, like Rosemary, Courtney, they can be as famous as they want, absolutely, have at it. But like my personal life, I don't want that famous. I don't want packages being sent to my mom's house. I don't want, you know, my brother, you know, like something like I don't want anything that doesn't have anything to do with what's portrayed on television to have any relevancy to fans, because that's not part of the fandom. Does that make, it's like, it's not part
absolutely
of the business. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's this
terrifies me.
Yes. I think that's a really good follow-up question to ask them. Like, why are you saying that?
Yeah.
And diving into like, what does famous mean?
Yeah.
Because
I guess that then you can go by like, okay, well tell me every intimate detail of your life right now, because that's what famous means to me, is nothing is private. Nothing. You might as well just tell everyone everything. Like,
yes. Which is something that I fought against forever. With social media, I didn't have any social media throughout my TNA run and years after. I didn't have anything. I stayed away from it because I'm like, I fought against it, because I'm like, you don't, nothing I could put on this that's personal is any of your business.
No.
Right. I and then I realized, wait a minute, I'm completely looking at this the wrong way. I'm taking away a valuable tool from myself.
Oh yeah, you could have been having so much fun
asking it on. Yes, right. So I really screwed up. I was a late comer to social media, and it's kicked me in the butt, right? Whereas a lot of my friends that got in it early have this massive following, and
is that loud? Can you hear the lawnmower outside?
I heard a little bit. I heard something, but it wasn't super loud. That's
okay.
Like
they're right outside the door.
I'm worried about my neighbors too. I was like, I really don't start mowing the lawn. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. So it's all good.
Okay.
But yeah, I was a latecomer to it. So really diving in, and what do you think, what does famous mean? You know, and why is that something that you're striving for? And if you actually get down onto it, like, is that something that you actually want for yourself?
Yeah.
And for me,
and
it's
why?
Exactly. And I think another thing that you said that really stood out to me is, I think maybe we've talked about this before, I can't remember, but I realized 3 or 4 years ago that I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that I was an introvert.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And that has helped me so much in my life. And I'm, again, a lot like you, that I enjoy being on a stage, but I don't I would rather be on a stage performing in front of 300 people than being in a room with 30 people and having to mingle and
oh god and
be social.
Oh I don't want to puke right now. Sounds horrible. Uh-huh. Yeah. If I'm putting on like a pre-planned show for these people, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But so yeah, mingling.
So that's helpful to somebody who's listening to this. If you're listening to this and you're an introvert, mm-hmm. that does not mean that you can't, you know, do a very successful sure. out there creative
yes.
performance job. Because a lot I've learned and having these conversations with wrestlers, a lot of us are introverts.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, majority of them.
Mm-hmm. I think introverts actually make the best artists or like better. Like hot opinion here, but like I think introverts make better artists for the sole reason that like extroverts are like, because they're so outgoing and they're perfectly fine with the accolades and the feedback, that they're like doing it to get the feedback, whereas like introverts are doing it because we actually love the story that we're presenting enough to get over that fear.
Yeah
And I think that's... like that, because we're so confident in the art, it's overruling the social anxiety.
Sure Yeah.
If I didn't have confidence in my performance, I wouldn't be able to go out
there. Yeah. So last thing that I want to talk about, because I want to be cognizant of your time. What was the mentality and thinking of bringing back Courtney Rush and taking a left, kind of a left turn and doing that? Was that a difficult decision? Was it an easy decision? What was... kind of different things going through your mind in terms of putting yourself out there in a different way?
I think if I look back, like retrospectively, the tickling began when Soo Young started getting her like alternate characters.
Mm-hmm. And I was okay.
Like, hold on, I already have alternate characters.
Yes.
I have these ones. I was like, well, she's doing really good. They're pretty fucking funny. So I'm just like, I do love Rose Rae, right? So that was happening. And then Havoc turned to Jessica, and then Jessica's just been having so much fun being Jessica, and like so much more like how she actually is in real life. That's Jessica mm-hmm. on TV. And like she's been having so much fun. And I'm like, man, I'm tired of being the Zeppo.
Yeah.
Like I always have to be the fucking disapproving Rose Rae, you stupid human. Just out of sorts. And so I'm like, man, I just want a break. I want to be the idiot for a little while. Mm-hmm. And two, all the stars lined up. I've been Rosemary for 7 years or seven deadly sins. It felt like a fun time to take a break there just for a bookmark. Cool. And I also love her so much, and she's so dear to me and such like one of my favorite characters I've ever created, that I think the worst thing I could ever do is get sick of her. Mm. And to bring it back around full circle in conversation, what we were talking about it being work rather than enjoyment, because Rosemary is my job and my life, I think I do put a lot of pressure on her to be like, well, I need her, you know what I mean? Like I have to be Rosemary whether I want to or not, because that's what brings me money. And I was like, I want to prove this to myself that I am good enough to do this, not as Rosemary, not forever, but just for a little bit, and shake it up and remember how to like have fun. I remember I talked to you. I was like, I feel like I forgot how to work. Because I was just like, everything was just so. But Rosemary's became such a formula.
Yeah.
That it was like not fun.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
I wanted a challenge. That's why.
Yes. I find it so interesting that you talk about Rosemary in the third person. Like you refer to, like I find that so fascinating. I think
her closet's right there. It's bigger than mine.
Yeah, I think that's fascinating. I think it's interesting. I think it also speaks to what you just said in passing, but what really stuck out to me is that you're a storyteller.
Yeah.
You tell stories, and Rosemary is a character in your story, but it's your real life story, which is why you're the perfect person to talk to for this podcast, because you've created these multiple characters for the story of your life,
mm-hmm.
and each of them has a purpose, and a relevance. Different
emotion represented.
That's fat. I don't even know what else to say about that other than it's fascinating.
Well, like, I feel like a creative psychopath.
I feel like we could probably talk for easily another hour just about that concept alone.
If you wanted to go, we could go.
I'm gonna have you on again.
Okay,
you
know, deal.
And let's bookmark that and go next time we talk.
We'll get extra
let's really get in and dive into, you know, the story of your life in terms of the characters. Totally. Yeah, I think we did though in a lot of different ways today.
We
dabbled in it, but we can go really deep next time. I really appreciate that. So thank you so much for being open and having such a lively conversation and giving me things that I never thought about before. I wasn't expecting that with any of my guests to be like, not that I'm saying I'm super smart and I know everything, but like you said a couple things today to me that I'm like, about me, myself, and my career, I'm like, I never thought of it that way. That's such a good way of thinking of it. So.
Usually I come to you. Turns out I can be pretty good as a teacher.
Yes. So thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving me the time. And I think some of the things that you've said today, this was my hope from talking to you specifically and just even doing this podcast in general. I was hoping that people that are listening to this can get something that's applicable to their life that will help them in their life in some way by listening to these two crazy characters that just love this wild thing, wrestling. It's so crazy and dumb and awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we can learn something that can apply to our lives from these wrestlers. And I was just kind of like this hope of mine. Maybe that'll happen when I'm talking to people. And that has absolutely happened with you here today. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Mission accomplished.
Yes, mission accomplished. So thank you for being on. Thank you for being a guest. And thank you for being awesome.
Oh, thank you for all the same.
And that does it for another episode of Wrestling is Life is Wrestling with Cody Diener. I just need to say thank you again to my friend of almost two decades, Courtney Rush / Rosemary from Decay. What a talented person. And I just want to thank her for, again, opening it up and talking about some things that she's never talked about her life and her career with other people. She decided to talk about those things with me. And I was hoping that I was going to be able to get that out of my guests. I wasn't certain of it, but it's just proof again that I have the best friends in the world that are willing to come on here and share of themselves stories from behind the scenes that they've never shared before, with the hopes that it can teach us some lessons about life, because me and my friends know that wrestling is life is wrestling. If you want a bonus story, speaking of stories that never before been told, if you want to hear a bonus story from Courtney Rush that has never been told before and is not available for free for you, you've got to go, I guess, behind the paywall, as they say, over to patreon.com/CodyDiener. Not only is that going to help me out and help you bring this podcast to people for free, like yourself each and every week, but it's also going to expand your mind and blow your mind, because this story of Rosemary's is her very first day traveling, trying to get to TNA for her debut and the madness that ensues. If you want to listen to the audio of that or watch the video of that, head on over to patreon.com/CodyDiener. I appreciate the support. If you want to follow and learn more about our guest today, follow her on her socials. She's got a couple different personalities because she's so talented. She has two identities. One of those is Rosemary. You can find all of Rosemary's stuff on Twitter and Instagram @WeAreRosemary. Or you want to follow Courtney Rush and that part of her side of her identity, then go to RushleMania on Twitter and Instagram. That's @RushleMania. You want to follow her and support her outside of wrestling in her other business endeavor. She has a company called Demon Bunny, along with Allie from AEW. Check out their stuff on DemonXBunny.com. You want to play some video games with Courtney, have some fun with Drew, then go to Fire Pro Wrestling World Weekly eFed with Drew over at twitch.tv/AndyEPlays, and there's all kinds of fun stuff going on over there. That brings us to the end of episode 4 weeks of me having fun jumping into this world of podcasting, and I am having a blast. If you are having a blast and you want to share the fun that you're having listening to this with your friends and family, then please, if you can't support me through Patreon or Pro Wrestling Tees or Cameo, that's cool. I get it. We don't all have this mass of amount of disposable income. Then one thing you can do is just take a screenshot of this right now, put it on your social media, tag me in it, tell your friends about Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling with Cody Diener, and that helps spread the word and gets more people listening to this. And then maybe you can get some advertisers that want to me to do some ad reads with my beautiful children to help shill their content, because as you have learned over the last couple weeks, I am a shameless shill for myself. I will self-promote my stuff. I will promote my friend's stuff, because that's what we do. We come together, and us entrepreneurs that are in this crazy wrestling world, we are our own brand, and we got to help support one another's brand. And I appreciate you guys helping support my brand of Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling over the last number of weeks. Next week, I'm not going to tell you who our guest is, but he is an awesome entrepreneur himself, super talented. He has his hands in so many different things in the world. And I was just going to drop a little hint and say a phrase that he says, but if I say that phrase, then it's going to give it away. So follow me at Cody Diener, and over the next couple days, you will learn who that guest is, and you can get the interview with this individual early and ad-free if you become a patron over on patreon.com/CodyDiener. And let me tell you, I know you're going to be excited about this person, and you're going to have a lot of fun listening to our conversation. So that's next week on episode 5 of Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling with Cody Diener. But I just want to end this by thanking you for being such a wonderful audience. Thank you for all the positive feedback. Thank you for rating and reviewing and subscribing to this wherever you're listening to this. Also subscribing on YouTube at Cody Diener Podcast. That's helping me out, bringing people and awareness to this show, because I know I am in a large lake, potentially an ocean of people swimming around in this podcast world. There's so many options. There's so many fish in the sea, but you have decided to put your pole into the water and catch a little bit of what I'm putting down for the wrestling world and the world in general. Because this isn't just a wrestling podcast, it's a life podcast, and I appreciate you listening to it. So thank you again. That does it for another week of Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling, and we'll see you back here next week. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week on Wrestling Is Life Is Wrestling with me, Cody Diener.
Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life. Wrestling is life is wrestling.